Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca. I have a question for all the guys here. Now, I'm imagining that it switches over, but I've just found this to be a particular thing that happens to the guys. Now, guys, have you ever had a time when you've woken up in the morning and your wife is angry with you because of something that happened in a dream that you were supposed to do and you didn't? Now, wave at me if this is a reality for you. Oh, am I the only one who experiences this wonderful thing which takes place? Now, I'm not going to give you the exact example, but I'll kind of give you an example of perhaps something that might happen. Wake up and my wife is angry at me. I says, what happened? What did I do? Well, I had a dream last night that somebody was chasing me with a knife, and all you did is you were just sitting there. You're sitting there ordering a pizza at the pizza store. Here I'm running, calling out your name. You're saying, well, I'll have pepperoni mushrooms. That's just like you. I said, really? Was it pepperoni mushrooms? I think I would have ordered something else. See, that's just like you. You just don't care. If it wasn't for those ninjas that came and saved me and that elephant that I jumped on to run away, then it would have been a terrible end for me. And I just say, hey, you realize, dear, that it's a dream. It didn't happen. I'm innocent. Really, I didn't do anything. If someone chased you with a knife, I sure would have helped you, honestly. So let's order some pizza. Funny thing is, life can kind of be that way. Life's never fair, is it? Sometimes it seems like life is expressing its anger to you. Sometimes you feel like the garbage can that the world can dump on you. And I will be the first to say that sometimes it's unfair. And so I believe this is what I have. I have one job to do today, other than scooping ice cream for you after the service. It's to somehow, in some way, articulate to you that I believe that God needs to us to recapture the wonder of God. And so there's a number of people who are here. I don't know where everybody's at. I don't know what journey you are on and what you are going through at this particular time. Maybe you're here and you're a little bit skeptical. Maybe life's been hard on you and you just at this point where you're willing to throw in the towel when it comes to God, or you're here and you love Jesus, but the level of faith that you once had has diminished. The cares of this world has lowered your vision, your view, and your vigor of God. It's funny that cares of the world, that kind of comes from one of the parables in the scripture where it's the parable of the sower, and when the seed is thrown amongst the wayside, it says that the thorns kind of grew up and suffocated. Isn't that kind of a reality? We get suffocated by life. We begin to just go through the motions. You would sit there and see a person at church, you could see the hi, God bless you, we got all the language down. But somehow there is something that has taken place and it somehow needs to change. Life has dulled you to his glory. You've forgotten that there's a duty, that there's a destiny, that God has a place in his grace provided us the pleasure to be part of it. In short, your view of God has become small, and whether it's from busyness or boredom or bitterness that has put you there, it is time today to take a second look at God, and the time for us to rediscover that he is El Shaddai. Great are you, Lord, Almighty God. How can you say there is no God when all around creation calls, a singing bird, a mighty tree, the vast expanse of open sea? I love to stand at ocean shore and feel the thundering breakers roar, to walk through golden fields of grain with endless bloom, horizons fray. God, help me to do a good job of the wondrous God that you are, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise you, Father.
Thank you.
What a wondrous God we serve with everything that is there. It says in Psalm chapter 19, verses 1 to 6, the heavens declare your glory, the skies proclaim the works hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, God's pitched a tent for the sun. It is like the bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. It's absolutely incredible to see how vast our world is. And to stop and consider, maybe go to the other end, the fact that we are made up of millions of molecules and atoms and chromosomes and distinct things that go on in our body that if one thing goes wrong, then maybe everything else goes wrong. It is so intricate, the system that we are part of. Have you ever considered the miracle of eyesight? The fact that this wonder organ that we have controls the amount of light it takes through the muscles and the iris, and the muscles contract and relax to alter the size of the pupil, and then it passes through the cornea and then moves to the lens, and then the eye bends the light and ultimately onto the retina, which is like the powerhouse of the eye. And the retina is covered with millions of light-sensitive receptors known as rods and cones, and each receptors have pigment molecules. These ultra-sensitive receptors are shapeshifters, and when hit by light in response, they trigger an electrical message that travels to the brain, to the optic nerve. What a truly miracle it is, isn't it, that they see this two-dimensional issue, which the brain kind of takes and measures it to the fact that we have this depth perception. Isn't it absolutely incredible when you just consider the fact that you are looking at me at this particular time? You know, and to think the fact that I am an insignificant dot in the city of Brandon, that if you were to take a look on a map, it would just be an insignificant dot. That if you were to take a look at this world, we are hardly anything. And then all of a sudden, we're part of a universe which is absolutely and incredibly huge. Take a look at the fact that our sun beats down and it's hot and then it's cold, but the water that we have, other planets that are around us don't have near the amount of water that we have, and that water is special because it controls the temperature around the globe to make it actually livable. It creates oxygen, and you know how much? 3/4 of the earth is filled with ocean space, and the average depth of the open ocean space is approximately 2 miles. 2 miles. You want to know how much world water there is in the world? According to the National Ocean Service, 352,067 quintrillion gallons of water. Well, what's a quintillion? A quintillion, one quintillion is 1 plus 18 zeros past that. Isn't it absolutely incredible how it circulates to clean our air and do all the things? And this is just the planet of Earth. And you know what? You can put 1.3 million Earths in the sun. And we're created at the exact distance from the sun where we're able to sustain this thing, which is called life. And that's nothing. There is this planet. They didn't even give it a name. It's called R136A1. Oh, come on. Can't you be a little bit more original than R136A1? It is a star. And they have found it a number of miles away. It is the size of 265 solar masses, 265 suns, and in its birth weight, they figured that it was as much as 320 times that of the sun. It is the most luminous star ever found. It is close to, get this, 10 million times that of the sun. That's pretty bright. I would have to use my sunscreen. Well, I would have to use my R136AL screen or 1R136 glasses. They'd probably be pretty thick, folks. I'm telling you. And the fact that we can't even see it, that we don't even feel the effects of it, talks about the vastness of the universe that we live in. Our planet has more than 10 to 14 million species of living things. They're talking about an article in a column in the New York Times talked about the fact that there's dandelions on every continent that we live in, and each of them can create more than 2,000 seeds. Those of you who love lawns hate dandelions, but they help us. That all these plants that we talk about allow us to be able to, in essence, eat sunlight. That's where they come from, and they produce oxygen and build topsoil and hold it in place and prevent floods and sequester carbon dioxide and buffer extreme weather and clean our water. It's incredible. Have you ever stopped to consider that God has allowed life to thrive in the deepest, darkest regions of our ocean floor? They have found plants 20,000 feet below the underwater. They figured that there are certain nutrients that come from vents at the bottom of the ocean floor. It's incredible. Your brain is about the size of a head of cauliflower. It looks like a 3.5-pound lump of firm tofu. It comprises about 2% of your body mass, but uses 25% of your body's energy. Scientists estimate that the brain receives 100 million bits of information per second and contains 100 billion cells, many of which are neurons. And these cells have thin, complicated shapes like the branch of a tree. And at one is the axon, and the other end are these dentaries and twigs of the branch. And they are finding out that the signals travel at about 200 miles an hour. And they reach the end of the cell, which is called the synapse. And between the synapse, there's these dendrites. And they're talking about that each dendrite cell is surrounded by 10 to 100,000 of these dendrites, creating the possibility of 1 million billion synaptic connections. Wow. When the Bible talks in Psalm chapter 139, which says that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. It's not kidding. It says that in Psalm chapter 139. And actually, let's show the second video if we could at this time. It has to do with Psalm 139.
When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw me. All the days ordained for me were written in your book. Before one of them came to be, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even then the night will shine like day. For darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Search me, God, and know my heart, and lead me in the way everlasting. I praise you. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
So you see, Psalm chapter 139 talks about the fact that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, but the whole psalm has little to do with the fact that he has created us. Basically, it talks about the fact that there is a God, as big as he is, who knows us. Who knows us and knows the most intimate details. The fact that there is no place that we can go that God is not there, and he desires to know us somehow in some way. There is wonder in creation, but there's also wonder in what we'll call the relation. You ever sit in church? I know I'm not the only one, folks. And you go through worship services, and you have a worship service, and you have a number of worship services. And after a number of worship services, you begin to ask, they sing that song all the time. Do they not know any other worship songs? Have you ever had that? There's just one song that they seem to sing to death. And it happens to be a really good song at the beginning, but by the time you have heard it for the 63,000th time, you say, I think we need to sing a different song. Now, all of us kind of have that experience, and maybe it's just a difference in the choices that we have. But for me, a number of years ago, it was a song which was called, I Am a Friend of God. I am a friend of God. You guys remember the song? Oh, I'm thinking, they didn't hear the song. Oh, my goodness. No. That song got sung so much that it took away the luster of the song. But I always remember the first line of the song. Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? It takes it from the Psalm chapter 8, and it says basically the exact same thing. How can you stop and consider the fact that the God who created this universe, in which we saw a video which talks about certain things in the earth, it doesn't explain some of the other things which take place that we don't even know about. It wasn't until 10 years ago that they figured out how a bumblebee flies. Up until like 2005, they said, it's impossible. Bumblebees can't fly. It is theoretically impossible, yet we see them flying to the things. It's, oh, well, someone smart finally come and said, well, you know, they don't fly their wings like this. They fly like that. Oh, that explains it a whole lot better. I find that I get a lot more lift going like this. I don't know. I don't understand it. It's true, isn't it? But the fact in the midst of that, not only is that true, but the God who created all that, who created that 10 million size sun, somehow in this whole process desires to know us. There's something special about that. And from there, you realize the fact that he can continue on a relationship and a level of conversation with me and you and 6 billion other people at the same time. We can't totally understand that. And the fact that every believer in Christ, God lives in, it says, the Word of God. And that's when we start going from that term wonder to the term of awe. You know, you ever hear that word awe? Awe, to me, awe is that level of wonder where you don't really have the words to kind of express it, right? You know, it's like that time in Isaiah chapter 6, and Isaiah sees the Lord high and lifted up, and he sees his train fill the temple, and all the angels that are around, and everything's taking place, and you think he's going to say something profound, but he doesn't. He basically says this, woe is me, a man of unclean lips. God, I can't be here. That's why many times when we talk about a move of God, and I hear a lot of people talk about the fact that, man, if there's a revival, if there's a real move of God, there's this time of ecstatic celebration. When God moves, when there is an absolute miracle, I think the exact opposite happens. All of a sudden we become aware there's a God that is before us, and we are people who are unclean, and we say, God, you got to change my life. You got to do something different. You got to minister somehow in some way. One of an author of a number of years ago, Oswald Chambers, wrote a devotional called My Utmost for His Highest. There's this one quote that he makes. He says, faith is the inborn capacity to see God behind everything. The wonder that keeps you an eternal kid. Wonder is the very essence of life. Beware always of losing the wonder. The first thing that stops wonder is a religious conviction. Whenever we give a trite testimony, the wonder is gone. The evidence of salvation is that the sense of wonder is developing in us. Wow. There's a new song I remember as a young Christian. I've been a Christian now, going close to 40 years. But there's a particular artist, and he talked about a song about this whole universe, and there's a line that has always hit me. It says, and if there's life on other planets, well, I'm sure that he must know. And he's been there once already and has died to save their souls. It's interesting. I don't know about this whole thing about life on other planets, exactly what's happening, who takes place. Nobody knows. Nobody can say for sure. We haven't even gotten to the end of the universe yet. But the fact that there is a God who cares so much for us that he desires to have a relationship with us, I think, is the greatest wonder of all, don't you? That's why Isaiah writes in Isaiah 9:6, he calls him wonderful. That term wonderful, counselor, a prince of peace, mighty God, everlasting Father. The redemptive act of God may be the greatest wonder. The fact, not the fact that he created everything, not the fact in the midst of him creating everything, he thought of you, but the fact that he saw you in the state that you were and he did something about it. Stop and consider it just for a second. I know that there have been conversations I've had as a pastor for people who come up and say, you know, these religions, all of them together, are kind of fundamentally the same. I said, well, I think that there's one difference. The one difference that I find is that Christianity is the only one where the Creator actually comes and sheds his blood for creation. I think that's kind of a big thing. Oh, yeah, well this particular religion goes by the writings of this religious person. Okay, ours goes by the fact that God actually died, shed his blood. Comparing the two, I think that there's something about this one here. I think it's important. I think it's something that you can't really walk away from. True salvation comes not at our efforts, not to try and be good, not to try and earn our way, but when we recognize this exact wonder that I'm talking about and we decide to surrender ourselves to God because of it. So Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind whereby we must be saved. I like Psalm chapter 103 verse 11 and 12, it says, for as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is his mighty, his mercy towards them that fear him. As the east is far from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Let me ask you, where are you in that process? Maybe you're here and you've never ever really observed it until now, that there is something here about a wondrous God that is seeking to reach out to you today. Maybe you're here and you've walked away from it, or you're thinking of walking away from it. Maybe you've let others cloud you or embitter you in this whole process. And I'm not too sure what you've gone through or what you are going through or what the trench or the thing that you may be in. But I know that there's a God who not only knows what's going on in your head every single second, but he created you in this whole universe. And there's something about the wonder. If you lose it, you lose sight of God and his greatness and the fact that there's nothing inside of you that is too difficult for him to handle. And whenever we take communion, which we're going to be taking this morning, whenever we take communion, this is what it has to do with. It is the fact that there is a God who died for you, and it is so wonderful and it is so wondrous that Jesus says, you got to remember it. You've got to remember it somehow and some way. And every time I think of the wonder of God, there are these things that if you're taking notes, you got to write down. When I have a full knowledge of the wonder of God, it causes me to reflect on his greatness. It restores El Shaddai. He is a great God. It causes me to rethink the fact that what I am going through is nothing in comparison to him. It causes me to realize that there is a plan that exceeds past this lifetime. We make the mistake of saying, the plan ends the day that I die. The plan is just starting the day that you die. That there's a wondrous God and this whole process is doing something. You know how long it will take to examine this whole universe? It's incredible when you stop and consider it just for a second, to return to worship and to remember the fact that God has done this for us. What a wonderful God. And if there's any way that I can somehow get you to leave this day to say, man, I've lost sight of this true and wondrous God. God, restore that in me. Restore that in me, please, I pray. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. When we had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And as we look at verse 25, it says, "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.' For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Lord, as we hold the emblems of your sacrifice in our hands, we just take that time to worship you, to consider all that is in this, that God came in human form to die for my sins on an earth which is so small, and yet you know every thought, you know every hurt, you know everything that we are going through. This message is called Recapturing the Wonder, but maybe it's not as much about that, but being recaptured by the wonder, because it's not so much about what you possess. Wonder's not so much about what you possess, but what possesses you. God, I pray, possess us. Allow the presence of the Holy Spirit to move and to change our lives, we pray. Let's partake of the emblem, which is the broken body of Christ together. Thank you, Lord. In the blood of God, which was shed for our sins, we partake together. So, God, I pray that you do something supernatural in our lives today. I pray, Father, that you restore a wonder, that you bring back to the fact, the reality of who you are and what you've done. And Lord, let us run back to you. Allow the presence to truly flow in our lives, we ask this day. Bless our time of fellowship. Bless the service tonight. God, I pray that you bless our ice cream fellowship that happens. But Lord, as there might be a few people who are here that maybe need prayer, God, I pray, Father, that you will minister work in their lives as well, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at bethelbrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook. Thank you.